Okay, we're starting a new chapter within the Peliyot, starting with Oyna. Now, what's Oyna? What's Oyna? Oyna is no. It's first of all, the literal word of Oyna means pain, right? Causing pain, right? But it can be. It's in reference to two aspects. Number one, the monetary aspect of the Isser of Oyna, the Isser of Shnos, of adding too much to a value of a product, it's an eighth more of the actual product itself. And then there's Anas Dvarim is speaking derogatorily to somebody, speaking in a way that's insensitive and hurting their feelings. Again, what the contours of that is, we'll talk about it as we continue. Let's start. Anas Mikach or Mimka, right? We have, when it comes to business matters, someone being over in the Isra of Oyna. Yesh ba Isra Moisif al Isra Gaza, right? There's beyond and above the Isra, the prohibition of stealing, there's also a prohibition of Oyna. So oftentimes this happens a lot, but people who are uneducated and are ignorant about the laws of how to do proper business practices. So it causes such damage on the world, it actually adds to the problems of poverty, because when people are not acting properly in the monetary sense, they're not being respectful of people, of people's ability to afford things, you're causing tremendous damage. And the funny part is, we dress it up as like, no, I'm being a smart businessman, right? This is called like price gouging almost. Price gouging. Now, price gouging means that there's a flood and people that need this. So then the water you mark up at like $300 a bottle. But it's not even just necessarily in a time of sakana. It could be any time that you're adding a value to the amount of the product itself that is not that value. So what are you doing? You're causing tremendous damage. Again, you're gonna lose your money at the end of the day. You're not gonna be able to, it's not money which will ultimately be standing. If you think you're gonna make the money now, end up actually being able to save that money up, and it's going to be, you're not going to be successful. You're going to lose that money somehow. It's not blessed money. This is the concept. This is the general principle of Einosh. You're not allowed to lie. What they, you know, it's funny again. They call it marketing, right? You're not allowed to lie about the particular product, about what actually, you know, what it doesn't have, no qualities it doesn't have. That's called lying. Or to lie and say, yeah, I got it this amount and really this. And I'm telling you, this product is absolutely amazing. I'm selling it for like way below market price. You know how much I spent the money on this? The truth is, you didn't. Either you got it for free, and or you figured out some shady way how to get it. And or, you know, you bought it at a very high cost, and you're trying to lie that the sticker price is actually much higher than, much lower than it actually is. So for example, someone has a fruit stand, and they have some pretty bad products, right? So he shines it up a little bit, or he's got a few good ones. He puts those few good ones in the front, and he kind of hides the produce in the back, and you know this person's going to buy bulk. They're not necessarily going to look at every single one. They see the first few are good, and then they start piling it in. So that's obviously lying, because again, you're misrepresenting. Again, people do this, they're just the worst. Of course, if someone's messing around with the weights and the measurements, of course the Torah says that such a person is a son, is an evil, is a hated one, is disgusting, is totally, you know, he's banished, he's just totally off. Someone who messes around with the midos, with the measurements of the supermarket, is much worse than even someone who's manuvel in disgusting, inappropriate matters. But vaday she lo sits lach, for sure, such a person will never be successful. V'achrisa yinovel v'ra ba'olam hazeh mivan onshe hashomer lo olam haba. V'nimsa shayta v'yisir eile shu yagei larik. U'mechala koicha v'yabal l'bahol l'liknais mekach ra la'atzmi v'gehenem. Such a person, you've bought a one-way ticket to Gehenem. To summarize exactly what Yoy says. Okay, so we said it before. But like today, we live in a world where you if you come up with a certain phrase or a certain title for it, then it's like totally fine. Marketing. Oh, anyway, this is what everyone does. This is marketing. You know, we spoke about it before. This is during the election season. Baruch Hashem, we're beyond it, but we're still going to always refer back to it. That one of the common things I hear. Let's listen to an interview, a podcast, some type of, you know, commentator will say, oh, this candidate, in order to win the election, he had to really, really, you know, talk about how he was very right wing and was going to take on right wing, you know, principles. But as he gets closer to the election, he has to start moderating. That's terms for he lied to the people one way to get the vote, and then as he gets closer to he needs to lie to a much larger group of people in order to get the candidacy. He had to lie to a small amount of people. Then as he got older, as he got closer, to the election, he had to start lying to a lot of people. But the terms, no, he had to moderate his position. He had to moderate. It's how it works, that we use these terminologies for things. They're just pure lies and sheker. Pure lies and sheker. But when you dress it up with something, it makes you feel good at night. You can put on your tie. You can feel like you're totally 100% part of civil society. And the answer is you're not. You're a liar. You're a shakran. You're nothing. Right? This is it's very popular nowadays, this thing called Bitcoin. Anyone familiar with it?
Yeah.
Oh. So one of the biggest things is, again, not necessarily Bitcoin itself, but for people to create like a fake coin. Apparently you're able to do this. I don't know how, but you can create a fake coin. You can then pump it, right? You pump it, get a lot of people to buy it, and then dump it, right? What do? It's basically trash. It's a trash coin. It doesn't actually have any value, real value to it, but you convince a lot of people to buy it, which then artificially raises the price, and then you dump it. You then get rid of it the minute people start buying it, and then all those people are left holding the bag. What is that called? That's called marketing. That's really called theory. But what do they call it? What is it? So we don't have to logically or psychologically have to relate to the idea that you're a liar, that you're a goslin, right? And what happened to that particular guy? But up until that point, what was he? He was riding high. I don't think it was Dogecoin. What's his name? FTX. The guy was riding high. I think he had like $4 to $5 billion. This guy. Unfortunately, he was Jewish. Nothing. Shocker, right? Right. Not religious Jew who literally. He was selling millions and millions of dollars worth of, and he was completely taking that money that he was taking from investors and putting it into other, he was giving it to like politicians and everybody, all this stuff. Why? He was a liar. He was a liar. But what was it? But at that point, he was called, he's a tech innovator, right? That's the term. He's an innovator. No, he's just a goslin. He's just a straight up goslin. And this is the way life works. This is the way life works. That you dress up nicely, you can hide behind the titles. Yeah. What do you say?
My house, like, what am I? What's the halakhic way of looking at house? Like, my things are worth.
Listen, Chazal says that the best business to go into is real estate.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Real estate is the best.
Yeah, but they don't know how it works nowadays.
Listen, people, there is an element of, there's a market. To the extent, meaning one person that says, I take 5%, but then another person come along and say, I'm going to undercut them and take 4.5%, or even 3%. That whatever you're willing to pay for it, or go around the system to a degree. I mean, I don't know exactly what the rules are, what the laws are per se, if you have to go through a particular agent. But whatever people are willing to pay, that's what it is. If you don't want to pay that, then don't pay it.
Right.
Right? And there has to be.
This bottle is $1 million and you sign it. How likely would you agree to it? Yes?
Well, again, if I am agreeing to the concept that I've been paying $1 million for it, but if you're presenting it to me as if that water bottle is $1 million, that's on us. That's on no. What? The idea is I'm allowed to make my own monetary decisions, whether they can be bad or they cannot be bad. What? Again, there's a big machlekes. Again, these things have some element of where they have inherent value and some things which are only presumed value. Again, that's always the challenge. That's always the issue. With how exactly you define each one.
Real estate things fluctuate much more.
Right. Right. Right.
So a smart real estate agent's not going to say a word about that. Because once you start mentioning this is a good ceiling, now he has to stick to that word. But if he just says, look, the house is $100,000, you want it, take it, sign it.
Right, but listen, there is a level of obligation upon the person going and buying it to then do his due diligence and say, okay, but what is the house next door selling? What is the sort of house across the street?
His idea is that your
heart is
right.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's a problem, of course. Hold on. The things that are visible, it doesn't have to mention because you see it. You walk in the house, you see that there's mold and the black mold in the bathroom. I don't think he has to tell it to you. You see it.
Yeah, but he picked it over.
Yeah, he picked it over. Right. These things become very tricky. Become very, very tricky. A person has to really, really. If you're gonna go into that field, you have to have a rav who you can speak to, who can tell you specifically what to do. Otherwise, the yitzhara is so strong. To lie, to misrepresent, to it can get very, very dicey very quickly. it's pachad pachad. V'yadua shetchilas dina shel adam shoyel lo'asar. As we know, k'yadua, when a person goes up to Shamayim, tchilas din, as in to say, the whole proceedings of whether you were a good person or not, it all goes on this one question. Nasata v'nasata b'emuna. Did you deal in business properly and trustworthily? Someone who truly trusts in Hashem is going to then do business properly with the right, that mindset. Chesed Hashem v'sevenu. God's chesed is constantly surrounding us. You don't have to then to lie here and to lie there and to chop $20 here, chop $20 there. But Birkas Hashem hitashrenu. Actually, I was very impressed. I'm very close to a family who their grandfather, he was Baruch Hashem, a very successful real estate developer. And I think it was like he was sitting at some type of business summit or something. And they, after the summit, they were sitting and schmoozing a few very wealthy individuals. So they were he's going around the table kind of talking about like what corners or what chap they figured out how to be able to maximize the profits, how to be able to lower their overhead, things of that nature. It goes around, each person's saying their chap. But really, in essence, it was saying how they're able to skirt the laws. To skirt the laws. Let's be even more blunt. And it got to this particular person. He said, "No, I don't break the laws. I don't skirt the laws. I just do it the old-fashioned way. You work hard, you make money, and that's a fact. That's the fact of life." And someone who has this attitude is not going to become debased and degraded for what again for a couple million dollars. Really, $1 million is that's how much your soul is. At least have a sense of respect for your neshama. It's like $1 billion. $100 million. Come on, what does that get you at that point? You know, with this inflation today, even with this Trump economy, it's still not a lot. At least $1 billion. But like, what is it? Your mom's. But you're so easily sold. You're so easily sold. At least have a market price for your own soul, right? Obviously, I say that tongue in cheek. But the point is, like, it's so worthless what you're giving out for. Some people $50,000, really. You know, Lahabdu Afifai says crazy stories about like spouses will like try to like murder for hire to get rid of their spouse. Why? For an insurance claim, right? To be able to file for insurance, which 90% of the time they don't get anyway because every insurance company is like, whoa, wait a minute. So you're telling me your husband was like driving and all of a sudden his brakes like went out and just died. Really? Interesting. And you're telling me that you filed for a new insurance claim last month. Or you signed a new insurance plan a month ago, and you were fully the beneficiary, and then your husband died in a very suspicious car. Yeah, it's okay. We'll give you the money. No, they're never giving you the money. They're gonna bring you to court, and they're gonna sit there and fight with you for the next year and a half, 2 years. It's not even worth it. I'll be logic to kill your spouse, as if I have to explain why logically you have to kill your spouse. However, though, my only point is to say, it's like people will do it. Why? I hear some stories where for $75,000 they would try to kill your spouse. $75,000. I mean, come on. Listen, you know. Listen, anybody who has a little bit of an idea could open up a lemonade stand and sit there for what a good like 6 months. You can probably get close to $75,000. And to murder your spouse, what does that tell you? It tells you like you have low hasagas. Like at least get to a high level. You know, at least a good. You know. Okay, I'm joking. And the point is that anyway, dark humor. The point all I'm trying to say is that we're so easily able to sell our standards and our values. There's something that's so not even worth it. Like at least again, I joke when I say it because you have to be mezalzel. The Chazal used to speak about the Yitzhara, but if it is Zara specifically, you have to make fun of it. You have to like really put it down. Yitzhara is like stupid. For $75,000, come on, at least $100 million. Okay, then maybe I'd start selling my values. At least I'd start selling my values. We know Mayor. Well, okay, so then you have to $100 million, $2 billion. You have to be just like a good negotiator. Person has to say, 25, the person goes back 15, 25, 15, 23. The person's like, okay, fine, I'll give you 23. No, 30, right? You have to be a dirty businessman when it comes to Yitzhar. You have to tell him, okay, $100 million, I'll do it. Come to the deal, $100 million, then we'll talk Yitzhar. Then I'll start selling my values. Yitzhar comes back $100 million and say, whoa. Now that I see you have the money, 200. Okay, let's talk. The point is that you have to treat Yitzhar with exactly what it deserves. No trust. Don't trust it. And even if it's coming to you with $100 million, you think you can trust $100 million? The point is, the Bali Moser speak about this idea of building up a dimin in your mind, almost as if you're negotiating with the Yitzhar. He's coming at the table, and he has a whole plan, he has a whole perspective, how he's going to get you the $100 million. And he say, you know what? Give me 250, then we'll talk, right? And then comes back to you, 250? No. Half a billy, right? That's what I want, half, that's what Eitan would say. Half a billy. It comes to you half a billion. Come on, who are we talking about over here? Yeah, listen, you know, work. You have to work on it. That's a, you have to become so great that your tahara is so stark also, right? Right? What? No, it's Chazal says. Chazal says that the greater you are, the greater tahara you have. Oh, okay. Has such an important thing again that your this world would be much better. That of course people have such people are so easily goaded into self justifications for the actions they do. They lie to themselves for everything. The worst kind? Ah, they're not even Jews anyway. What's the big deal? This really needs to be spoken about. People that are involved in the property management field, right? They call it property management is, oh, there's mold. Okay, we'll cover with a piece of, you know, linoleum cover. Oh, but they're going, man, that is chas v'shalom, the worst attitude a person could have. Meaning, that's first of all, it's a tremendous chel Hashem Shamayim. Tremendous chel Hashem Shamayim. I don't go into all the details. I'm unfortunately aware of a few different things, but it's bad. Not me personally, but I unfortunately know of very extreme examples, extreme situations where this attitude of they're going, so what's the big deal? It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah, of course. That, you know what? Let's even talk as if you could do it to goyim, right? As if you could do it to goyim, it starts with the goyim, but then ultimately do it to the Jews as well. That's the problem. That's why you give it to the Jews. You have to have a sense of self-respect for your quality of work, whether it's someone who's a Jew or a non-Jew. You have a quality, and that's what makes you that's what make you ultimately a wealthy businessman. Is you have good quality, that you have produced a good quality, and people appreciate hard work, and people appreciate that someone has a sense of talent in what they're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow.